It's our third time in English, and we are back with another guest episode. You're listening to NIT Easy with me, Solveig Voice, and a player I know that very many of you are eager to hear more about. Welcome, Jeremy Grollo.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I just talked to you through like some of the things that we're going to talk about and just started to prepare you mentally.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people have been asking me some questions, whether it was cultural or just my everyday life. So I kind of get where it's coming from, especially from a guy, an import, whether it's me, Max, or Thomas, obviously, when we're coming from other countries and stuff like that. People are kind of curious as to what the changes are for us. So, I love talking about it. It's definitely an experience that I love having every day. So to talk about it is definitely going to... I guess going to be an eye opener for people, but it's definitely fun.
It is. And I mean, you're one of the guys that people don't know so much about because it's your first season as well in Sweden and out in Europe. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But before we start today, I'm going to talk to you. I just prepared you before we started recording. Every day after practice, when we reporters are waiting for you, when you pass us on the way to the locker room, everyone says, hi, you know, hello, hey. And you and Max and also Tompkins last season and like every North American player say, hey, how's it going? Or hi, what's up?
Yeah.
And we're always confused. What are we going to reply?
Yeah. So for us in Canada, not so much in the US, but usually North American, I would mostly say Canadians. We like to greet people a lot, even if we don't really, if we're not going to have an interaction, really. We just like to greet each other. So what we usually say is either, hey, how are you doing? To which we usually expect like, I'm doing fine. How are you? Or something like that. Just something really casual and pretty quick. Otherwise, if we're more familiar, obviously we see you every day. So hey, what's up would usually just be like, what are you up to? Like just a quick conversation where I would maybe expect like, oh, I'm waiting for this guy or waiting for that guy. That's usually just how we kind of do things. It's not that it really means anything, but I feel like along the run, you know, it just makes it more familiar and just to greet people is kind of our way to show like maybe a sign of respect a little bit just to say hi. So obviously, which is totally fine for me too. Like I know when I walked in here the first couple of weeks, I was kind of saying, hi, how are you doing to everybody? And a little bit like everybody was kind of confused, like, hey, I'm good. How are you? And they were kind of, you know, not in shock, but it didn't know like, oh, okay, like this guy wants to talk to me or what's going on here.
That's
it's just a funny thing, but I got adjusted to it pretty quick. But obviously with you guys, when we see you every day, it's kind of, it's different. So
yeah, and we are confused still, but I thought we have to go to the bottom of this now. And like, how are we going to greet you back? Do you want a simple hi or the same back, you know?
Yeah, probably just, I mean, for us, it's, again, like I said, it's just an answer back real quick. Like just, hey, I'm good. How are you? And then I just
say, I'm good.
Something like that. So yeah, it's quick and easy, not too bad. And then, you know, like I said, I think it's more so for a thing along the run. Like the further we go on, the more familiar it gets. And it's just like more new, I guess, familiar to talk to each other and stuff like that. So obviously we're doing the same with the fans because we see them all the time. So for us, it's kind of just a way to make it more bonding, I guess, would be the word for it. So, that's pretty much it.
That's good. We're going to talk about cultural differences later on as well when we talk about how you like your life in Sweden, because I can imagine there are some differences.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I thought we were going to start with backing up a bit because you grew up in Europe.
Yep.
You haven't played in Europe, but you grew up in Europe when your dad was...
playing.
Hockey player,
yeah, exactly. So my dad was also a professional hockey player. He got drafted by Calgary in the second round, played a little bit in Montreal, and then he decided to go to Germany, where I grew up. So I was born in Quebec, but I was probably just 1 year old, and we went for Germany for 6 years. So I was 4 years in Mannheim, 2 years in Duisburg, and then we moved to Austria for 2 years. In Linz, and then he finished his career in France, where it was pretty fun because, you know, it was kind of in the middle. We got to travel quite a bit and stuff. So in a little town called Briançon. So I grew up in Europe for 10 years. Obviously I got to play hockey over there. It was still youth hockey, so it's been a while for sure. But definitely wasn't expecting to come to Sweden or come to Europe right away, but I'm glad I did. I'm having a good time and I can't complain, honestly. Like for a kid to experience the culture change compared to an adult is very different. Mm. And I've noticed it now for sure. As you know, I grew up in Europe, so it was one thing. And my first language turned out to be German, and then it was English, and then it turned out to be French, which now is the complete opposite. Yeah. I speak mostly French and then English, and German, I understand it. I don't speak it much, but so yeah. And when I'm an adult and I come here, I'm like, okay, like now I get what my parents were talking about. I get what the culture change they were talking about. For a kid, you see another kid your age in the street and you just want to play with them. So
yeah,
you know, that's usually how it goes. But as an adult, it's very different for sure.
Mm. And your whole family lived in Europe for many years then?
Yeah.
When he was playing?
Yeah. My mom followed I have an older sister too. She's six years older. We all followed my dad. Obviously, I think that it's kind of, it's in Canada, obviously, there's a lot of, I would say like at least half the population that plays hockey.
Yeah.
So for us, like everybody wants to be a professional hockey player and get to a certain point. And obviously, the main goal over there is to get in the NHL. But when you think about it, it's like, okay, like in the NHL, it's going to be hard to make it. So if that doesn't work out, where are you going to go? And then obviously there's all those leagues, and then you don't really think about Europe. But when people back home ask me about it, they're like super impressed. Like, oh my God, like this is amazing. Like, what do you guys live? Like, what do you guys had as experience, whether it was as a kid or even your dad as an adult, it's amazing. So, and I'm not, obviously I think it's kind of a little bit on the unknown in Canada, the whole Europeanish league, I would say. But I when I talk to them about it, and like even some friends back home that I talk to, and they watch our games, and they're super impressed. They're like, oh my God, like hockey over there is amazing. They're like super impressed. They're like, the ice is huge. It's everything so different. And they're very impressed. And, you know, like I said, back home, I think that people mostly think about NHL, AHL, and then it would be East Coast if you want, and those things. But they don't really think about Europe until they get talked about it, and then they do some research and they're super impressed. So for me, it was obviously different because I got to live it with my parents and my sister. So I knew what I was getting into in some way, even though I've never been to Sweden before. So I really didn't know what Sweden was like and the league itself. But I knew there was going to be a huge culture change, and I knew I was going to enjoy it from the start.
Did it surprise your dad that you were going to choose European hockey as a quite young player, because you're still young?
Yes and no. I think that my dad's always been, you know, part of my life, whether it was hockey or just every day. But when it came to hockey, I think that we both kind of had a game plan, knowing like, okay, like you're going to work hard and hopefully you're going to sign a contract in the NHL, which happened, which I was very happy. I was very fortunate to sign with New Jersey. So I was there for 5 years with them. Obviously, I was in the American Hockey League for all of it. But when that contract ended, we were like, okay, where are we at? Because I was 23. I was like, technically, I could get more offers somewhere else. I could probably sign somewhere else. It could be interesting. But the way that, not that I had bad seasons, not at all. I had some really good seasons actually in the American Hockey League. But with my play style, it's a little hard to get, stand out, if you want, compared to like other defensemen, whether they score 25 goals during the year or something like that. Like for me, I'm more on the low-key side, I'm more on the defensive side, I'm physical, that's my game. And Europe was kind of one of those things where it was like, okay, you know what, like that's a really good option, but we might want to wait, because if you do end up going to Europe, chances are you're not going to come back, which obviously, like I said earlier, as Canadians or Americans, I'm sure, that play hockey, our main goal in life, our dream, is to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like ever since I've been a kid, I've been dreaming of playing in the NHL. That was my dream. And I didn't really expect to come down here right away. But then, like I said, when I was looking at offers that was given to me and stuff like that, I was like looking at the lineups and I was like, okay, like with my play style, where am I going to end up at? Am I ever going to get an opportunity? Like, obviously, I'm a strong believer of if you work hard, you usually make it.
Yeah.
If you believe in yourself and you work hard, you make it. But still, I kind of went through those 5 years when New Jersey was, I was really working hard and I was doing the best of my capability. And I was always on the brink of like, okay, like maybe not. And it was kind of frustrating, and I felt like wherever I was going to end up at in North America, it was kind of going to be similar. So then I talked to my agents, and they told me that if there's a couple leagues that they recommended that I could go to in Europe, which was Sweden and Finland, because they were saying that they were huge on developing players. So, and that the scouts in North America were really looking at those leagues to bring some guys over. Obviously, Sweden is one of those leagues that, I don't know, I want to say in the last 6, 7, 8 years maybe, has been crazy for prospects. Every year you look at the draft and there's so many Swedes that are coming out of there. So you're like, obviously for me, it was like, oh my God, okay, this could be a good opportunity for me. I'm still young. I'm not super young, but I am young. So I was like, that could be a good option for sure. And then I got lucky enough, got an offer from Färjestad. So as soon as that happened, I didn't know much about the team. I heard from the team, but I wasn't really sure what I was getting into. And the first interaction actually that I had was kind of funny, because I got an offer, and the next day I was playing. We had a league back home in Quebec, and I was talking to a couple of my buddies that do play in Europe. And I was like, yeah, like I got an offer from this team. And they were looking at me with like huge eyes, and like, oh my God. It was like, this is crazy. This is great. You should go. Like this would be so fun for you, and like great organization, high expectations, they're very successful. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, wait a minute. Like I was kind of like, I was interested, but I didn't know at what degree yet, you know? So then I got back home, talked to my family about it, made more research about it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like it's not just any team in Sweden. And like I didn't know much about the SHL yet, like I said. So then I kind of like asked more questions about it, and I was like, okay, like this is actually like, it's not just, I'm not like stepping down, like this is actually stepping up for me. Like the, I would say honestly, compared to the AHL, it's a very different game, very very different game, but in my opinion it's better here. So not as physical, which is kind of out of my game a little bit, but I think that when I came here, I looked at it more as a development kind of thing, where I was like, okay, bigger ice, I'm going to get to work on my skating, which I have done tremendously. And I think I kind of surprised a lot of people for my size. A lot of people got surprised by my skating. But yeah, so I was thinking more of a development kind of side of things. And I was like, okay, more skating for me. My physicality is never going to go away because it's part of my game. And defensively, I'm going to get to still improve on what I got to improve. And then hopefully maybe offensively, I'm going to get to also try some stuff that not necessarily I was giving the opportunity to do in North America, and especially on a bigger ice. So that's kind of how I was thinking about it. And yeah, then came here and nothing but impressed. Honestly, I've been having a great time with such a good team, teammates, so can't complain for sure.
You played with Fabian Zetterlund in the AHL.
Yep, I have.
Did you check something with him when you heard about Färjestad? Because he's been here. He's from here.
Yeah, he is from here. Well, he was nice enough to offer me an apartment. So he was like, hey, I got an apartment for you. But yeah, no, I talked to him a little bit, obviously, because I was actually, I was really close to him. Obviously, now he's in San Jose, but I was actually driving him around for 2 years.
Really? And,
yeah, I was. So he didn't have a car back in the first. Actually, we played, I think, for 3 years together, and or 2.5 rather. And the third year, he got a car. But anyways, I was driving him around quite a bit, and he was quite demanding, not gonna lie. but no, he's such a character. He's such a good guy. So yeah, I did talk to him a little bit, obviously, about the city, what to kind of expect. Yeah. I did my research, obviously, but it's kind of better to have it from a guy that actually lives in it and is from here. So I talked to him about the city, talked to him about the team, and obviously it was all positive, and it makes sense now looking back at it. I was like, okay, like maybe he's just trying to sell me something. But then like I got here, and I was like, okay, he was right. Like this is exactly what he told me. And yeah, whether it was about the league, the team, the expectations, the city, the fans. So obviously we all know how it is around here. But yeah, no, he went straight at it and just told me everything, and I was like, okay, this is very impressive, and it's gonna be fun. So yeah, no, I talked to him a little bit for sure.
Did it surprise you when you came here? I mean, I understand that you had some expectations from like talking, doing your research, but were you surprised when you came to Färjestad? Did anything like
I think I was very surprised by how warmly I got welcomed. That would be the first way of saying it. I mean, I remember I landed in the middle of the night in Stockholm, got back here at like 3:30 a.m.
And they asked me, they're like, okay, we understand you're not going to practice. And I was super excited. So I was like, I want to practice. So I came straight down here. And then instantly I felt like fans were coming up to me. Obviously, I saw you guys. And then like the way I was kind of welcome was like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not used to this because like I said earlier, I'm more on a low key kind of side usually. And people came straight at me and just welcomed me and just told me, like, hey, if you need anything, like, let us know. So stuff like that was very reassuring, whether it was for me or for my family. I think that it was really reassuring. Obviously, my family being so far away for them, they were kind of, not that they were too nervous about me, because, you know, they know I can handle any situation really, but it was just nice for them to know that I was welcome like that. And then the teammates, obviously, I was kind of expecting it to be completely Swedish. Nothing, you know, I wouldn't understand a single word of what was going on, but guys were actually nice enough to come up to me and talk to me in English. And obviously, then I saw Max, which for me was kind of a good thing, because I was like, okay, I got a French buddy to talk to, which is nice. But, you know, we were kind of across the room, which is not too, you know, not too good on that side. But guys have been so easy for us. Either also same thing with Tomas. I mean, obviously we're learning a little bit in Swedish, but not yet fully. So, no, guys have been super easy for that. And I mean, that was my first impression. And then the further it went on, I think it really, the passion behind the games, like even the crowd, the stands behind us, like I've never seen that before. Well, I have when I was growing up, but I was still very young. So I forgot about it a little bit and I didn't experience it as a player. And then when I got on the ice the first time, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like, this is from start to finish, like guys are just screaming, like all those fans are screaming and just chanting. And I was like, okay, this is a whole other experience. And right away, I told all my buddies, I was like, if you guys get a chance to come around here, come around here, because it's really, really fun.
Yeah, you didn't expect that kind of crowd.
No, not at all. I didn't know, because I looked, like I said, I did my research. I knew like they had a big rank, like all that stuff. And I was like, okay, this should be interesting. And I thought maybe during playoffs, it gets like, you know, pretty crowded and stuff. But it's like every game, it's really crowded and every game it gets loud. So I was not expecting that for sure. And when I did get to experiences, I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, this is such good hockey. It doesn't feel like, it really feels like it's part of the city. It's part of their identity and part of their passion. Whereas I've always said, like back in North America, it's not that it's bad, not in, you know, any sense of it, but it's more of a business, I would say. If it goes well, it goes really well. And if it goes bad, it, like, I feel like everything's dead. So that's usually how it kind of works. Whereas here, I feel like we have, like, the fans just got our backs. So we could have one bad game, two bad games. Like, I understand there's frustration. That's always going to be there. But at the end of the day, they still have our backs and they're going to come back to the games and they're going to show up and they're going to scream and, you know, chant. So to have that is really, really fun as a player for sure. Mm.
And now you've seen it also from, like, up on the press section where you've been when you were injured.
Yep.
So you've seen the experience from the crowd as well.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It almost wanted, you know, I almost wanted to go down there and just go on the stands right away with them. But yeah, it was definitely a different experience to see it in a crowd than it is as a player. But I think it's actually, although it is probably very fun to be in a stand, I think it's even more impressive as a player because everything's kind of like right around you, right? It's like pointed at you and this is for you guys. That's kind of how it feels like a little bit. As a player, it's been so impressive. And then I, like you kind of said, like from up there, it's been kind of nice to experience it also as a fan and to see like, okay, this is how we look on the ice. Like, this is how it's going. Like, this is how the fans interact. Like, I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense how there's a lot of people that come to the games and want to get that experience for sure.
You haven't been playing now for so long since you came back from your injury.
Yep.
I've talked to several of your teammates and they hate sitting up there watching games as injured.
Yeah.
They rather not really, but they're there anyway.
Yeah.
How are you when you're injured? Are you really frustrated or do you like trust the process and stay calm or?
I mean, it was very, very frustrating because obviously any player, you would ask any player, they always want to play like that. They just want to be part of the team. They want to be part of the impact, the winning impact, you know, like all that stuff. So, and there's such a thing in hockey as camaraderie rather. And, you know, like just to kind of go, we say it in a weird way, but go to war with your buddies. Like that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
And to be just left out like that, it's kind of, it's just hard for a player. And mentally it's hard. Physically, for me, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to get through this after 7 weeks? I was like, I'm going to be dying out there. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of, it's a mental war for sure for a couple of weeks. And it's very frustrating. But at the end of the day, I was looking at the guys and I was like, you guys are the best team in the league. If we played it right way, obviously we had a little stretch that was a little tough, but we all know that when we play our best hockey, we are by far the best team in the league. So I wasn't too worried about that, obviously. So yeah, it was just one of those things. I was just like hoping I could go back out there on the ice with these guys as soon as possible. And unfortunately had the medical team that had to hold me back a little bit and, you know, tell me like, listen, like you're going to get to that point at some point, but you just have to kind of like what you said, trust the process.
Trust the process, yeah.
Exactly. Trust the process and don't overdo it. So, yeah, it's kind of a, it's a tough waiting game, but at the end of the day, you have to do it. And it's just part of it, I guess, part of the job. So,
And I can imagine that patience is not your best friend at those moments. So,
no, well, though I am probably the most patient person ever. And people even tell me I'm like frustratingly patient.
Really?
Yeah. Like I'm too patient sometimes. But yeah, when it comes to that, it's hard for sure. Yeah, just because you're so used to a certain like every day, like you show up at the rink in the morning, like you go, you wake up. In my case, I had the dog, so I would wake up in the morning, go with the dog, then go to the rink, and then do all that stuff, go in the gym, go on the ice. Like we're all doing this together, right? And then come back home. Okay, this is no more hockey. But now it's like, okay, I don't even have hockey anymore. So like, what am I doing? Like, okay, like I get that I have the dog and I have to take care of him, but I'm like, what else am I going to do? So it was kind of hard. Like I did even stupid things. I bought a guitar and I was like trying to learn guitar, like stuff like that. Right. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that you gotta be, you don't want it to happen, but you know, like a hockey career, you never go without any injury. So it's going to happen at some point. You just hope that, you know, you're going to cope with it the proper way. So, in my case, it was a guitar, I guess.
Are you any good at the guitar playing?
No, I'm terrible. No, really? I'm really, yeah. I mean, I tried learning when I was younger and a little bit, but not much. And then I was like, you know what? Like, this could be interesting. Like, just buy a guitar and just try and play a little bit. To only, I was super excited for the first couple of weeks, you know, like super dialed in and got a subscription to some course or whatever and all that stuff, only to realize like, okay, this is going to be way more work than you thought. So. But yeah, I'm still going at it. I'm still trying to learn a little bit, and maybe my family doesn't know about it yet. So hopefully I'm going to impress
Surprise.
Them. I'm going to impress them when I go back home. But, as of now, yeah, no, it's not looking too good. I'm not going to lie. So.
No. And now you're back on the ice as well. So.
Yeah. Now I'm back on the ice. So, the mornings are more occupied for sure. Yeah. Not as much time for the guitar, but, yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad I'm back, so I can't complain for sure. The guitar is going to take a little bit on the side, so it's okay.
It's going to be standing there in a corner gathering probably. Dust. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Exactly.
I guess so.
Nu är den här. Kia EV9 är en helt elektrifierad SUV med ultrasnabb laddning, oslagbar komfort upp till 7 sittplatser och en räckvidd på upp till 505 kilometer. Kia EV9 öppnar en värld av möjligheter.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Vafa Bil, din bilaffär och A-bilar i Arvika.
Vill du och ditt företag nå ut genom våra poddar? Vi på NVT Media hjälper dig med din marknadsföring. Kontakta oss på mediepartner@nvtmedia.se så berättar vi mer.
The first time now, I mean, more than half of the season is played already.
Yep.
How do you see yourself, like your development this season so far? Because it's a big ice for the first time for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I walked in here, not that I didn't know what to expect really, but I was like, okay, like the adjustment is going to be interesting to see how I'm going to go through it. Whether or not I'm going to have to figure it out on my own or if people are actually going to help me out. You know, sometimes teams that have high expectations and like, you know, they kind of have a roster already built around and they know what they're doing. Sometimes they're like, okay, like we're going to get a guy and he's most likely going to figure it out. But here, when I walked in here, The team helped me right away. So whether it was the coaching staff, the players, it didn't really matter who they, as soon as like I had questions, I knew I could ask. So yeah, the big ice was definitely the biggest thing for me. Play style too, but the bigger ice, just because like I'm used to going from, let's say I'm a defensive defenseman, so I would start in front of my net and then I would go to the corner. For me, it's like three steps. Well, now it's more like five steps.
Right.
So like I kind of have to make that switch in my head and realize like, okay, like you have to kind of read it quicker. You have to know like if you are going to go there, you have to make that split second quicker decision, I guess, to get there. So, you know, just those simple things. And there's obviously guys that also been to North America that get the switch that I had to go through. They had to do it any other way around, but you know, they still get it. And yeah, like I said, coaching staff, same thing. They helped me a lot. Well, not just that, but now my development as a individually, I think it's been great. Honestly, I started off actually pretty well, where I think a lot of it was coming from adrenaline. You know, I was just super excited. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to do my best to make a good impression and then, you know, help the team as much as I could, which is obviously always a thing that you thrive for. But yeah, now I think that looking back at it, I'm like, okay, there was definitely some learning process around all of this. And I think that a lot of it came from experience, just playing games. So the more it's going on, the more I'm like, okay, like I pick up on things. I'm like, okay, this is most likely what they're going to do. This is how it's kind of played. And which is kind of a funny thing. Like I could give you an example. It's like for us back in North America, we rimmed the puck a lot. So like I would get the puck, get to the red line and rim it. But like on my side. Here they don't rim the puck, they go across right away, which I've never really, like for me, I'm always kind of confused about that thing. But then I kind of at some point it clicked and I was like, oh, okay, now that makes sense. So I know that if a guy is coming across from me and he's not going to rim it, he's going to go straight across. So I'm kind of in a better position. So yeah, it's just a learning curve, I think. And obviously, like I said, my skating, I think, although it might not be noticeable, I think it's gotten a lot better. And yeah, I think that in general, I feel like you kind of, with experience, you just get better at certain things and without even realizing it. So, yeah, it's not so much as for me as an individual as it is for a team. Honestly, at this point, I wasn't really thinking about that. But no, we're just looking at it as a team, like where we're at. And obviously, we went through a little bit of a rough patch. We had quite a meeting in the locker room just trying to figure it out together. And obviously, I think that's what the good teams, the great teams do. And they just come back together and they talked about it and figure things out together. And that's what we did. And so far, I think we're going to head to the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the Örebro game this Saturday was a huge difference from the game before.
Yeah.
It was like two different teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Frölunda was definitely a tough game for the team. That was my comeback game, and I was just adrenaline through the roof, and I was, you know, very excited to be there. But, you know, it's a season is so long, obviously, with those guys, all the travel that they had to do. Obviously, I missed 7 weeks. So for me, it was like I didn't have to do all that traveling and all that. I was working out, but a game is so different. It takes so much out of you. And I was actually talking about it with a couple of buddies yesterday. A game just... Literally, like, you could practice and have, like, a hard practice and be fine the next day. But if you have a game, it's, like, it feels like you got hit by a truck for 2 days. Like, it's crazy. And to do that throughout the whole year is definitely, you know, kind of hard. And there's going to be ups and downs, which I think you expect for sure. But, yeah, when we after the Frölunda game, we had a good meeting together. And we were like, okay, like, we got to figure this out. Because, like I said earlier, when we play our best game, nobody can beat us. We're so good. We have... such a deep roster. We're goaltendings, obviously, right now. I mean, guys have been doing great, don't get me wrong, but obviously it's kind of tough on the moral to not have those guys out there with us. So it's definitely you know, it was interesting to see how things were going to plan out. And I'm very impressed, honestly, by the guys, how we kind of all got together. The coaching staff was like super open about it. And Örebro was definitely one of those huge games where guys were playing kind of with a chip on their shoulder, and you could tell, like, okay, like, we have to change things. And more physical, a lot of speed, and offensively, guys were just producing. It was great. And defensively, we had a great game too. So No, honestly, it was really kind of satisfying to see what happened there, to see that change, that mentality switch a little bit.
And, yeah.
I think that it's good to see it now because during the playoffs, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So I kind of talked to a couple of guys about it. I was like, yeah, I feel like we're kind of just like mentally, I feel like sometimes if teams play us physically, like sometimes we're just a little bit down and stuff. Like for me, it's obviously I see that because that's my game, right? So for me, that's the only, not the only, but one of the only points I could say, like, kind of bring us down a little bit in the past. And that game just kind of, I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, no, never mind. Like, guys can make the switch. Like, when they're playing kind of pissed, if that makes sense, I was like, okay, they're dialed in and nobody can beat us. So,
no.
Yeah, we just got to do that during playoffs and throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, we still have half the season to go, but in playoffs, it's going to be huge.
How do you change during playoffs? How do we notice on you on the ice that, okay, here is Jeremy in playoff mode?
Basically, the same way I've been playing the last two games. I'm going to try and hold that up for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think, like I said, I'm more low-key. But when it comes to playoff, I'm very physical. And just as much as some people were impressed by my physicality, I think then it's going to be even more during playoffs. Not that I want to get out of position, but I think it's just the playoffs is just such a different game. Like just as much as I hit guys, I think that the playoffs is the play style is made that guys are going to be around me a lot more too, because they're going to hit me just as much as I'm going to hit them. So it's just one of those things. You know, I think it's going to be a quick game. It's going to be mental warfare for sure. Just to play multiple games against the same team, and then you get frustrated one game and you're so upset about something, and then 2 days later you have to play them again. It's like, okay, like it's really a mental warfare for sure. But for me, I mean, it's just defensively, just to be good defensively, physical, and just to have a good, you know, have the puck and just make a good pass. That's usually my game. I'm not going to be the power play guy at the blue line. That's not my game at all. You're not going to see that out of me. So yeah, I mean, that's my opinion as to what my role, I mean, it's most likely going to be, but again, like playoffs isn't here yet. And then I'm sure we're going to have a discussion with the coaching staff and all the players as to what our game plan is. So, all I have to do is just follow my job and just do what I'm asked to do. And we'll see at that point how it's going to go.
Mm. And when you decided to come here to Färjestad, you signed a 1 year contract.
Yep.
It's your first season in Sweden, in Europe.
Yep.
How do you look ahead? I mean, looking into the future, could you consider staying in Färjestad?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, what I said earlier was the same thing. So, like, I signed here, and I also had to talk with Vadim when he called me the first time. He was like, listen, we understand that you're young, and you you want to go to the NHL, right? So that was my game plan. And I said, we understand that most likely 1 year would be better for you, because that way, if you do get a contract with an NHL team, then you could come. You know, you could go back, basically.
Yeah.
So that was the game plan to start with. But I'm not going to lie, I've been really loving the experience here. And I love a team that has a lot of expectations and that actually follow up with the expectations. Yeah. So a team that's been so successful, there's a reason for it. And to be part of such an organization and to kind of go through it and live it is very... it's kind of a privilege, actually. Mm. It's not everybody that gets to play in Färjestad and to kind of get that experience. So for me to, I kind of realized that pretty quick. I was like, okay, like I get why players want to come here.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, the city's been great to me. The fans have been great to me. Not just me. I mean, the whole team, like even I was talking to the other imports, obviously we kind of like, for us, it's easier for us to talk about it because it's like, okay, like this is all new for us. But yeah, no, it's been amazing for us and myself included. And, you know, I was kind of skeptical as to how I was curious about how different it was going to be, whether it was myself, the dog, like hockey, the travel, all that stuff. So I didn't really know how it was going to turn out. But no, I'm super, super impressed. And I can't say that. I don't want to be around here because I really do. I obviously love the seasons, what we've been doing and the teammates I've had and the coaching staff and even front office, all the people I've met, honestly, like the fans. It's been great. It's been only positive and no negative interaction. And the environment is definitely very different. I was talking about business in North America earlier, and here it's really more of a family. It's more of a passion. And You feel it and you want to be part of it. So I'm definitely very inclined to want to stay for sure. And that was not my initial plan, not gonna lie, but things change. And honestly, in this case, I think it's for the best. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when you come as a whole new player to Swedish League, you really don't know what to expect. But it sounds like it's grown on you, like Färjestad is.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't know much about the league, didn't know much about the team at first. And then I asked a lot of questions and I was very impressed by what I was told. And to, you know, kind of know it and to live it is two different things.
Absolutely.
So when I got here and I lived it, I was like, okay, like this is way better than what I expected for sure. So nothing but positive, whether it's organization wise, city wise, fan wise, it's been nothing but great.
Looking at your life outside the rink, you have your dog.
Yep.
And you live in Karlstad.
Yep.
How is life outside ice?
Well, I'm more of a outdoor kind of guy. Yeah. So I like to, you know, go on hikes and stuff like that, which is one of the reasons why I got the dog that I have now. So he's pretty big and he can take a lot of hikes. So it's been great, honestly. Like, obviously, I think that there's expectations when it comes to the rink in the morning, and you kind of have to change to like, okay, I'm in work mode now.
Yeah.
But as soon as that's over, like, you get back home and it's like, okay, what do I do now? Like, I have all afternoon, I have all the evening to find something to do. And I kind of got lucky, because not that I got lucky, but I would say like the teammates that we have here have been really nice, to the point where I'm like, okay, like I want to hang out with these guys, even if I don't speak Swedish. They speak English, which is huge for me, but I'm like, okay, like we can go to dinner with these guys or stuff like that. And when it comes to like during the day, usually obviously these guys, they have wives, kids, stuff like that, girlfriends. So I'm like, I get it. Like, that's their time. That's okay. But yeah, I just go on hikes, just try and find stuff to do, walk around town with the dog. And kind of when we have a couple days off, I usually try to get out of town. Not that I don't like the city, because I really do. But, just try to change the scenery a little bit and just try and find something to do. So I try to get some, again, hikes usually is a big thing. And if it's not that, if I really want to go into a city, then like Max, he's alone here too, right? So we went to Stockholm, stuff like that, like I never really got to visit before. So stuff like that. I just like to go sightseeing and walk a lot, which is one of the things. Some people say I walk too much, where, really? To the point where I don't have like I don't take a break, because guys say that that's a new thing now. They say that I'm the busiest unbusy guy in a team.
Really?
Yeah. So I always say like, I'm not gonna do anything, and then they reach out to me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not even here, I'm not in town, I'm somewhere. So they kind of make fun of me for that, but I just try to keep myself busy and try to live the experience, the Swedish experience, as much as possible.
The dog, I'm curious, because we wrote about him.
Yep.
Bauer.
Yeah.
How does he like Swedish life?
He loves it. He loves the snow, he loves the cold, he's got a lot of fur. So he's loving it. He's been, I got lucky enough to find a great spot for him, a great dog hotel / doggy daycare. He loves it. And when I'm too busy, I send him there, and when I go pick him up, he's like, I don't want to go home, I want to stay around. So I'm like, okay, that's good, I guess. He's loving it. And got a couple of dogs to play with for sure. And like I said, the weather is super nice for him, so he loves it for sure.
Have you been on like a dog play date with some of the other teammates?
Not yet. We actually planned it a couple of times. The one time that I was going to do it, he got hurt. So he, ironically, I'm not gonna say, because I'm not allowed to say what happened to me, but he got hurt at the same place that I got hurt.
Oh.
The day before I got hurt. So I got back home and I was looking at him like, okay, we're both like,
oh no.
Yeah, we're both crippled now. We can't do anything. So it was kinda funny. But we definitely planned it a couple of times with a couple of guys. So we're gonna do a couple of things for sure.
That's good. And you didn't buy Bauer a mini guitar so he could join you?
No, definitely not. He was actually, you know what? He's a big howler when it comes to like sirens outside.
Really?
Yeah, when there's sirens, which is not a big thing here. There's not a lot of sirens. But in North America, it was actually like every like 10 minutes, it was like sirens outside, and he would just go at it, and like everyone would just laugh. But Yeah, so when I do play the guitar, sometimes it kind of tries and jumps in. I'm like, okay, calm down, because I'm still in the apartment. So I'm like, you gotta, you know, tone it down a little bit. And he just like goes very low, but it's kind of funny to just watch him go at it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you sing as well?
I do not sing.
No.
I wish I had a good voice, but I do not have a good voice to sing, unfortunately. Yeah, no. If I sing, you're gonna hear me sing in a car, but yeah, let's just say it's probably not for the best. You don't want to hear it too much, I think.
It's usually like that. It's like cars and showers.
Yeah, and cars and showers. There. Yep, yep. Whenever I'm alone, I usually, you know, I can go at it on my own, but I try not to embarrass myself too much around people. So I don't want to do that to their ears. So
I understand. I'm the same. We're going to get now to the big readers section and listeners section. We asked for questions for you on our social media, and it just poured in. And as every time, I told Max, the last guest episode we did with him, be prepared for everything. Because it's like, it's from food to dog owning in Sweden to everything.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. So first question, and I'm going to, I have names as well on our fans that have, but first I'm very curious about your name, because when we search, we have like a big picture bureau that takes photos during the games.
Yep.
And when they tag you, they have Salvas.
Yep. Okay.
So Jeremy Salvas Grolup.
Yeah. So that's my mother's name. So on my passport and all that stuff, all my, my important identity ID, I guess, I have Jeremy Salvas Grolo. So Salvas is from my mom.
All right.
And Grolo is my dad. So when, yeah, when I was born, they just put both names together. Yeah. It was, I guess it was in those times where they did that quite a bit back home. I don't know if they did it here in Europe as much, but they definitely put two names. They put both names together for quite a while. And I was born in that era, I guess, where they were doing that. So yeah, a lot of people get confused and a lot of people don't say it right. But especially back home here, I feel like people say it maybe a little bit better. But yeah, it's just funny. But Salvas Grolo, yeah.
So Salvas is
if you ask me what I want to be called, though, and no offense to my mom, and she knows it, she's like, we shouldn't have done that. But it's Jeremy Grolo. I don't want to be called Jeremy Salvas Grolo.
We're not going to bring it up again. No, it's just really confusing, because when you see the name, it's like, okay, is that his name?
Yeah.
It doesn't say on Elite Prospects or anywhere else, so it's just only there.
Yeah, hockey's always Grolo. It's only on important ID stuff.
Right.
And yeah, governmental stuff, it's going to be Salvas Grolo.
Mm. Very good. All right, so we clear that. All right, our reader G is saying, not a question, but he wants you to know that he and many others look forward to seeing you tackle in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, and is that like something we can expect more from you, like tackling the hard physical play? We talked about it.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, first of all, I will definitely try and do that for them, because I've been asked, actually, it's kind of funny, but every time we play Frölunda, I keep getting messages like, oh, you got to hit this guy, I got to hit that guy. I know there's a huge rivalry and fans get really passionate about it. So I understand that that's part of my job, and well, a big part of my job, rather. And that's what I was mostly brought in for. So I understand it. And obviously, I kind of pride myself in doing it. So, yeah, during playoffs, like I said earlier, with the play style, I mean, just as much as I'm going to hit some guys, I'm going to get hit a lot, because guys are so much closer to one another. It's so much more intense. And yeah, you're definitely going to see more hits out of me for sure. But yeah.
Very good. Gabriel has a question here. What is your favorite Swedish food and why is it kebab pizza? So he decided for you, but
Unfortunately, you know what? I had kebab pizza, I think, once. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I haven't gotten it again, because it was actually really good. I liked it. But the one thing that I can say that I really like, and it's Carl Lindbom, actually, who did it for me. It was, I don't know what it's called, but it's like shrimp on toast.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that for New Year's. That was like an appetizer kind of thing. But he was telling me that he made that quite a bit. He's apparently a really good cook, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he's a really good cook. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And he made that for us for New Year's. And it was actually unbelievable. And I was like, I need the recipe for this. And yeah.
Was it like a sticky kind of a sauce?
Yes, exactly.
Skagen, perhaps?
I think that's what it was. Yeah, exactly.
It is very good.
It is really, really good.
Yeah.
So I was impressed by that one. I was like, okay, you know what? This is taking a kick for sure.
That is quite typical for like really festive food. Mm-hmm. Like if you have like a, maybe not a wedding, but like New Year's and like a fancier starter.
Okay.
Toskagen is a big classic.
Okay.
In Sweden.
Yeah, it was really good. I really like that. And if I have to say another one, I actually got impressed by, which I was not expecting, was the classic cake that you have, like it's like a green cake.
Yes, the princess cake.
Princess cake. There you go. Yeah, I looked at it the first time. I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm gonna take a bite of this.
No.
And guys was like, you gotta try it. And then I did. And I was like, okay, you know what? This is actually really good.
It's so, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a New Year's dinner then with Carl and
yep,
other teammates.
Carl, his girlfriend Thea, and then we actually had dinner at Tomaszek. So we went to his place with Adela, his fiance. Sorry. Mm. And Max was also invited and I was invited. So yeah, we had a nice little New Year's dinner for sure. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Did you cook anything?
I did not cook. I will say, and I don't know why I was put in charge of this, but I was in charge of alcohol. So yes, that was my job to buy a couple of bottles of champagne just to, you know, celebrate. Mm. And we were okay. We didn't drink too much. Don't worry about that. But yeah, no, I was in charge of that. Carl and Thea were in charge of the appetizer and dessert. And then Tomas, which I don't know what he did in that dinner, but his fiance most likely only cooked the steak and potatoes and stuff like that. So I know it was a really fun. And Max also, sorry, I have to mention, Max came with me. So we were in charge of the bottles of champagne.
Very good.
And stuff,
he carried them. So that was
good. He did. He did more than that. But yeah, he did he did his part for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. All right. So we have... a question from Edis. Have you translated the hymn, Färjestads hymn, and do you know the words or the meaning of
it? The one where they have the scarves? I have done it. I don't know if it works really well, because sometimes the translation is right, sometimes it's wrong. But from what I understood, it's kind of one of those things where they're talking about the light and soul into the shield and to represent and all get back together and kind of... like I said, represent the shield. Mm. I think that's mostly what it was saying.
Yes, yeah.
So yeah, I can't sing it. I can't understand. Well, word for word, I don't know what it is. But yeah, no, I've done the translation for sure.
Well, that's good. How is Thomas Mittell as a coach?
He's honestly, I didn't know what to expect because he's very neutral in his face. And when he shows a sign of happiness, sometimes you're it kind of surprises you. You're like, oh, wait a minute. He's happy. Like, we're doing good. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, but when he's mad, it's slightly mad. You know what I mean? Mm. But you know, he has a huge impact, in the locker room, and guys are respect him and listen to him. So, it was kind of interesting for me to come in here. I was like, okay, Swedish, how is this gonna go? Yeah. Like, obviously all that stuff. But no, it's been nothing but great, honestly. Like, he, just as much as he does, the assistant coach, honestly, the whole coaching staff, they've been super, they've been really great. Mm-hmm. Help me out, help all the other players out. They never go overboard to get mad at someone. They never go overboard to go too good with a guy either. Mm-mm. Because that could kind of separate a locker room sometimes.
Yeah.
So, no, they've been great at, you know, handling the locker room and knowing what type of players they have, because some guys you can talk to a certain way, another guy you can talk to a different way. Right. Mm. So, no, it's been great. And you can tell they know what they're doing and they know system wise what they're doing. They work hard, they do lots of video. Mm. I can tell you right now, they do a lot of homework for us. So no, it's been great. And during the games, I mean, you see them, how they handle
Absolutely.
Themselves, obviously. So they take the game with great passion, and just as much as we players want to work so hard to win games, you can see it coming out of them too. Mm. Like, they're really into it and they have a huge impact. So no, it's been great. It's been really, really good.
Very good. All right, so we have Theo Lundberg. Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest difference with being a dog owner in Sweden compared to North America?
I think it's kind of the one thing I've noticed is that in North America, dogs, although they are they're permitted, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, everyone loves dogs. Like, you see a dog, most people obviously they like them and they want to go see them and stuff. But they're not welcome in public places as much.
in North America, whereas here it's like, oh, you can walk in a restaurant with a dog. And I'm like, whoa, how come there's a dog there? Like, I'm super confused. I'm not going to do it because my dog is huge. So I'm like, okay, he's going to take a lot of space. And, you know, he's very nosy. So he's kind of curious. And if I bring him to a restaurant, he's most likely going to try to get a bite of something else, someone else's dish. But yeah, no, it's just I think that was the biggest thing for me, was just to see how kind of welcome the dogs are everywhere, and they're just like allowed to be a little bit everywhere. Obviously you don't want them to be like overly welcome, which makes sense. I get that, but for me it's kind of reassuring to be like, okay, like, you know what, if I go somewhere, then I know that most places is going to be allowed with me, so it's going to be okay. So yeah, that was the biggest thing.
Do you have any place in Sweden that you would like to go and see?
I haven't really done my homework when it comes to that as much. I know I can definitely ask some guys, because so a lot of guys are coming from all over the place and stuff like that. So I know there's like, I was told there's like a ski resort like 2 hours or 1 hour away from
here. That's right.
And I was like, okay, you know what? That could be interesting. And then lots of guys, even I see some signs usually on the, when I was up there, when I wasn't playing, I kept saying Selmaspar or something. Yes. I was like, you know what? I could do that. That could be interesting. A lot of people talk about that too. So yeah, I don't really have a specific city that I have in mind, because I've done Stockholm, which was kind of the main one that everybody kind of talked about, obviously. But yeah, no, I haven't really done any homework about that, but I'm sure some guys are going to point me to a couple places. I know South is also beautiful. North is beautiful. So I have kind of all my options for sure.
Do you have a, like a favorite spot here in Karlstad that you go to maybe with a dog or?
Oh, with the dog? With the dog, not really. I mean, for hikes, if I want to go for like, it's not really a hike, it's more so of a long walk, but it's, what's it called? It's Skutberget.
Yes, that's right, Skutberget.
So I go there quite a bit actually with them. That's when we don't really, it's not really, like I said, it's not a hike, it's more of a long walk.
Yeah. But
I go there quite a bit. Otherwise, you know what, actually, Tomaszek and I, we do quite a bit of the fika, the classic fika. So we go for coffees. We try to, you know, find some spots, go a little coffee and a little, you know, a little something to eat next to it. So we just try different coffee shops mostly. But yeah, we just walk around town, try to enjoy the sun for the little time that it is around here in this time of year. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's good. We're not very spoiled with sunshine, but.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's actually another funny thing, because I was told this is the sunniest city in Sweden.
Yeah.
And the first 3 weeks that I showed up, it was raining every single day. Yeah. So I kind of had a tough go at it to start. But then, you know, it came out a little bit more, and then winter came. So that was a little tough now.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, fake news. What is this? You know, like, what? Sunshine, whatever.
Fabian, you told me it was sunny out here. What's going on here? But yeah.
Yeah. No, the last couple of days have been nice, though. Really cold, but
yeah, it's been not so cold. You know what, actually, though, the cold here is very different from what it is back home for me. Yeah, because back home we get super cold. We can get like -30s, minus, like super cold, like -40s even. But it's like a glacial cold here. I think it's because there's so much water. I've learned actually at New Year's that this is the country with the most islands, which kind of makes sense.
Maybe
so
it is. Yeah,
that's what I heard. So there's a lot of water around. Obviously, we got the big lake just down south.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. The cold is like really getting into you, right? It's going into your nose, and you're like, oh, you're freezing. Even if it's -5, it's like, for me, it would be like a -15 back home. So it's kind of different.
It kind of hurts your face when you go out.
It does. Yeah. You don't want to stay out too long. You want some good glove, good boots, which I don't have. I don't have boots yet. I don't know why. Every day I tell myself I'm going to go buy some, but I don't. So yeah.
On your to-do list this afternoon, then.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so last question. Who is the most underrated teammate in Färjestad?
That's a tough one. Underrated. I feel like everybody, kind of hard, because I feel like the whole team kind of has an identity, and everyone kind of knows what their job is, and everyone, even the fans, respect them for it. But Exit, I would say, probably. Just because obviously I think he's also on a younger side, and you know, he's, the opportunities that he's been given, he's been taking it every single time. He's just been so good for us, whether it was offensively I think that he wanted to work on some stuff defensively at the beginning. I'm kind of speculating here. That's kind of what I understood. But he's been amazing defensively too. He's been so physical, even if he's not my size, but it feels like he's playing my size, you know? So for him to play the way he does defensively, offensively, it's huge for us for sure. So, you know, you have him in the lineup and I'm like, okay, like we're in good hands for sure. He's going to do his job and he's going to work hard. So yeah, I would say, I don't know if that's underrated though, because you still know what you're getting out of this guy. Yeah. So like I said, I don't think there's any really underrated players on this team. It's just, you know what you see is what you're going to get. So you know every single player, what their play style is and what their job is, what their role is, what they're going to bring to the team. So I wouldn't say underrated for sure. Definitely not overrated. Nobody on this team is overrated because they've all shown that they're doing their job really good, really well. So which is one of the reasons why we're first, obviously.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I wouldn't say underrated for sure.
No. Well, very interesting, Jeremy, to hear about your thoughts about your first year in Sweden and coming to Färjestad and the atmosphere and everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing for me. Yeah. I can't say it enough, honestly. Like, the experience has been just amazing. I keep talking to my family about it and my friends, and they're so impressed and they're so happy for me to be here. And yeah, hopefully it's going to go on longer for sure.
Yeah, and your dad has been here as well watching, and he went to the CHL games in Europe with you as well.
Yeah, so we were fortunate enough because the issue that I had to start was my dog. So I had to wait for my dog to come 3 weeks later than me. So the only way he could come down, well, it wasn't the only way, but it was kind of the safer way, was with my dad. And it was to go through Copenhagen. So he would land in Copenhagen, right, which I did. So I picked him up over there. And then we came back here and he got to experience a little bit around town, what it was like. And just as much as I was still kind of learning about it, he was also very much interested in it. So that, and then the team offered to have him fly with us in Stavanger, right? Stavanger. And then in Germany, in Ingolstadt.
That's right.
Yeah. So those were the two teams we played over there. And and then he just went to Frankfurt and just went his way because he had to, obviously, like I said earlier, played with Mannheim. So they had like a huge, I think it was 20 or 25 years. Well, no, 20 years when they won the cup.
All right.
So that's why he was kind of heading down there. It was a good timing, great timing. So, So he loved the experience. He loved it. And he was really, like I said earlier, they were really reassured with the fact that I was around here and the way it was. So, yeah.
Can they follow your games as well?
They can. Yeah. Yeah. I asked some questions about it. And there's a website in Canada, I guess, that support the SHL. So I've given them that and they just watch it every single time, which is pretty fun, even though it's kind of hard for them it's actually easier for them now that I think about it, because there's a 6-hour difference, right? So for me, let's say we play at 7, well, it's 1 o'clock over there. So, and they can also play it in replay, which is fine, because usually after games, I'm kind of exhausted. So I don't really have time to talk to them. I just go to bed. But they can just watch it a little later or something.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah, it's good. They keep track of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they really
do. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming.
Well, thank you for
having me. And good luck tomorrow. We have like a big super meeting tomorrow here in Löfbergs.
Okay.
You're playing the top team.
Yep.
Växjö.
Yep.
Very interesting game. Four points between you now and...
Yep. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's hopefully one of these 6-point games that we call them.
Yep, exactly. Mm. Hopefully, big crowd. Everyone's going to be behind us like usual. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge game for sure. And we're all excited about it.
Absolutely. And good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks
it.
For listening, everyone. And thanks for your questions. I mean, we drowned in them, so I had to cut some back. But thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you again. Thank you for having me.
And, dear listeners, we'll be back next week. Stay tuned. Bye.